We'll begin. We pray. Lord, open thou our hearts to hear, and through thy word to us draw near. Amen. What do you expect? College, seminary graduates, you who are going to be carrying the banner of the gospel in the classroom and in the pulpit, what do you expect? All of you. What do you expect is going to happen when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? What do you expect should happen? What did the prophet Elijah expect? Well, listen and learn. And the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a cloak and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way. I have left 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." By the power of the Lord, the prophet Elijah had worked some great and mighty wonders in Israel. On Mount Carmel, he even called down the fire of heaven to burn up the sacrifice that he had placed before the Lord. And not only did it burn the sacrifice, it burned the water-soaked wood, it burned the stones, it burned the water surrounding the altar. Elijah's expectations were that surely such amazing spectacles would cause Israel to forsake its worship of Baal and return to Jehovah God. But it was not long after this that Elijah had to flee for his life as the armies of Ahab pursued him to kill him. In the wilderness, Elijah was in despair. And he asked God to take his life. He thought he was the last believer on earth, and that everything that he had done, all these displays of divine power, were not worth anything. "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then God sent him 40 days' journey to Mount Horeb. There on the mountain of God, the Lord showed Elijah such displays of power as would put to shame the spectacular computer-generated movies of today. The Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. This was followed by a mighty earthquake that shook the mountains. And we can imagine Elijah barely able, if at all, to stand on his feet. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then came a fire. I imagine a savage firestorm with flames arching from mountain to mountain and leaping upward into the sky. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Elijah knew what that meant, because he wrapped his head in his cloak for fear of gazing upon the glory of God. It would have killed a sinner such as him. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." The Lord says to him, "Go. Return on your way." He says, "I have left 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The Easter gospel is not a violent storm that crashes into our hearts, forcing us to forsake the idolatry that is embedded there. This gospel is not a quaking that shakes us to the very depths of our being so that we come to God because we're afraid not to. It's not a firestorm that devours the forces of evil within us. The gospel is a quiet, gentle breath that whispers to the heart. Elijah needed to know that. Elijah was not alone. He was not the last one. There were still 7,000 in Israel that God had preserved from idolatry. It wasn't the mighty displays of power that accomplished the faith of these 7,000. It was the quiet whisper of the gospel promise. And as quiet is the whisper, so quiet are the effects thereof. Elijah thought he was the only one because he didn't see this. The Lord knows those who are His. Preach this gospel, you, His servants. And expect nothing but this, that the gospel is going to whisper to the hearts of those who are listening. It's going to tell them, as it tells us, that the risen Savior has taken away our sins. You're not going to be able to see what that gospel is doing. I have yet to baptize a baby and see that baby converted. But the gospel of the baptism whispers to the heart of that baby. Don't expect spectacular displays. Don't desire to use such things to promote the gospel message. These things do not convert. So go. Return on your way. Preach the simple, quiet message of the gospel, the message of grace and forgiveness. And the sound of that low whisper will be heard by the hearts of many. Little children will rise up to praise the Lord, and the elderly will give thanks on their deathbed. Amen. Hymn 498, verse 4. seminary professors meet up here, please?